Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Friday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are out and about and on the road. We are out of our Half Street studios in D.C. It is a Friday field trip for us. We are in Manassas at Uptown Alley, where we are hanging out. Pretty cool spot out here.
This is awesome.
Full bowling alley with an arcade. I already texted my wife. I'm like, you got to get the kids out here. This is pretty cool. And it's an awesome restaurant situation. We've already experimented with some of the food, and the experiment went very well, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown Alley Manassas will be here until 6:30 today as part of our ongoing Friday field trips. We will be doing this all season long, every single Friday.
I'm going to be trying a food stuff they have here. I've heard a lot about it. It's apparently called pizza.
Okay.
The bread is flattened, tomato sauce, cheese, and lots of meat right on top of it. I'm going to try that. I'm going to give it a shot.
I like
it. Looks pretty good.
Where your head's at there.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure there's some meat with all that cheese and sauce, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes, right? If you don't get meat on it, what are you even doing? Did you even have pizza, bro?
As many meats as possible. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be here. We've had folks stopping by saying hello already. We do have some of our most popular Breaking Tea gear from our 106.7 The Fan merch shop, including our Cruisewood 24 shirts. Now, they will only be available until they're no longer available.
Right.
So that's a first-come, first-serve situation. As you get here, you better ask for those, and we will get those to you. But we are pumped up to spend this Friday ahead of the Commanders and the Bears with listeners. We did this last week in Leesburg, and what it turned into, frankly, because it was the end of the week and people were getting out of the office and enjoying themselves a little bit, both by way of talking about football and also by drinking some alcohol, was a pep rally of sorts. I don't know if that's the vibe today. I don't know what we're going to get ourselves into, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and this is something we're really excited to do. We wanted to just get out of the office on Fridays and go meet and hang out with listeners. And this is going to be a good time at Uptown Alley in Manassas.
That is the move, my friend. It's it already is so cool, you know, where you're able to have those direct interactions with folks, kind of as you said. We've already met a handful of listeners that, you know, some made the trip from near, some from far, some are just swinging by on their way home or you know, are actually supposed to still be at work. Doesn't even matter. Just come, shake a hand, high five, talk about the sports, and it's the best, dude. So glad we're doing this. Shout out to our buddy Christian, who got us pretty much booked the rest of this calendar year. Right?
Yeah,
we're going somewhere every Friday.
The tour is set, I will say. Mm-hmm. A worldwide tour. It's actually a national tour.
Prestige worldwide.
We will be in Philadelphia. We will be in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We are making some field trips round the way. We need chaperones. You can sign up at our website.
Adults. Yeah.
No, but we will need an adult or two. Let's get to the Commanders, though, on this Football Friday. Because the storylines in Ashburn are pretty obvious, right? Is Jaden Daniels going to play against the Bears? Is he going to be healthy enough to get the call to try to help this elite offense get to 6-2? We've heard today from Dan Quinn. We heard from Jaden Daniels, who spoke for about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. I think there's a couple of possibilities here as to what is actually going on. But for those of you just jumping in the car, for those of you looking for an update this afternoon, the bottom line is the team is continuing to play extremely coy. They want no information disseminated mm-hmm. at all, and it's very much up in the air if he goes or not. Dan Quinn spoke. We'll play a clip in a moment. When Daniels talked, he had a big smile. He looked like he was fine. He was kind of giggling and laughing along with questions. He was asked, what's the injury? He said, something with my rib. Yeah, but what specifically? It's in this area here.
Point to your rib. It's like talking to my toddler.
He practiced today, yeah. But he didn't practice in front of the media. There was no access to anyone who's not a staffer.
Uh-huh.
So if the goal for them this week was, by the end of business on Friday, let's make sure nobody knows if Jaden Daniels is playing or not.
Mission accomplished.
I think they did that. And that may have been the goal for all we know.
Yeah, they're under no obligation to share more information than they're sharing. So maybe it's a competitive advantage. Maybe it's because they don't know yet. Maybe they are playing it by ear. I mean, there's a million possibilities. None of them are definitive at this point, right? We just don't know in this case. Jaden Daniels, and we'll have the audio for you, obviously, but basically said that, you know, he wants to play. is working towards playing, but it's not up to him. And so this process, to me, I'm not mad at anybody. This is how it should play out. The player should do everything they possibly can to compete and get back on the field, whatever that takes. That's not blowing off rehab. That's sitting in the cold tub. That's all the painstaking stuff that we can't even think of, whether it's cupping or needlework or massage. I have no idea what goes into rehabbing this injury because I also don't know what the injury is still. He said it's generally in my ribs and it's complicated. All right, I suppose. Let's put that on the injury report then. Complicated ribs in this region here. It's sort of like Tommy Boy. So they're doing what they should be doing here. I love this. While it's a little frustrating to not know, I will trade that for you're taking full advantage if it really is indeed gamesmanship or as much time as you possibly have to figure out if he indeed can play.
They say art is in the eyes of the beholder, and mm-hmm. I guess an injury press conference is in the eyes of the beholder too.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting texts from buddies all over town saying very different things. You know, one is saying, oh, there's definitely not playing. Just listen to Dan. Just watch Jaden. There's no way. And then I just got a text a minute ago. After today's shenanigans, I think he's playing. Prior to today, I did not. I think you're seeing whatever you want to see, probably.
Yep.
Like, I think I'm in the minority on this because what I'm seeing on social media is a lot of fans that now fully anticipate he'll play Sunday. I don't know where you're at, Danny, but based on his press conference, even though he had the big smile and he was laughing and he looked fine, I don't think he's going to play, actually.
Right. So what's so funny about that, and I'm going to let you finish. I heard multiple different shows today. Just talking about this particular topic. Everybody had a definitive opinion that was the exact opposite of one another.
Yeah, I'd like to be clear that I do not have a definitive opinion.
Well, fair enough.
I'm going to lead with I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no clue. But, you know, I'm listening to a couple of folks go, oh, there's no doubt in my mind he's playing. And I've listened to a couple of folks that say, I don't think there's any way that he plays. That's what's so fascinating about all this.
Well, what I actually think is one of two things is probably true, which is that the injury is either more severe than they've let on and they've known all week that he's not playing and this is all a big charade, or that the injury might be less serious than a lot of us think. And similarly, they have kind of purposefully complicated this throughout the week and been extra careful. But the result is the same, which is they've known all week he was going to play and the charade has kind of become that. I think what's least likely is just taking it at face value, which is to say that this was a day-to-day, let's see how he's feeling, that right now, this moment, they actually don't know. It's 50-50. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he feels like when he wakes up in the morning and comes to walk through. Let's see what he feels like when he walks out onto the field. I actually think that makes the least sense. I think you should have had a plan, and probably did, a few days ago, one way or the other, based on how he felt. And if he's feeling anything, if he's sore, if he's in pain, if he's writhing, if he's running around on the field and something's not quite the same, but he could gut through it if it was a playoff game. Respectfully, it is not a playoff game.
Yeah.
He shouldn't play. But I actually think it's one of those two. I can't tell you which one, but either this thing is not as big a deal as it's being made out to be, and everybody is kind of – the reason he's laughing at the press conference is he just can't tell a lie as well as a coach who's been around for 30 years.
Right. Don't deal him a good hand in poker, otherwise you're going to know about it, right? Yeah, I like the way that you frame that. I see this. I don't see it as a, well, we're going to figure it out later, right? I have too much respect for this group for that. And maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe that's naive. Maybe that's silly. Maybe that's stupid. I don't mean like sell. I mean like a little bit silly. For me, what I want to hear is the experts have it under control. This is just not just with my football team. This is like always in general. I don't want to hear one day the expert says one thing and then the next day the expert says something totally different and you're a jerk and don't keep up. I don't like that in society. I don't like it certainly when it comes to the football team. Maybe this is my own sort of, you know, unpacking my own trauma here, as the kids say, when it comes to dealing with injuries and the like. But like, how many times do we go through this with the Nationals, for example, where it's a, you know, we don't think it's that big a deal and it's this, and it turns out actually it's something way more severe, like Danny Espinosa's wrist or Anthony Rendon's broken foot or any of the million things that have happened. Or Curtis Samuel actually already had surgery and he's day-to-day, or Chase Young is day-to-day and he misses, you know, another 3 months. I want there to be a plan. I want them to be on top of it. So I don't want the, we're going to see later. You know what I mean? Maybe that's my own naivete or my own sort of reservation given past experience, but I'm with you in the sense that I want them to have to know exactly what's happening, exactly how it's going to happen, and just to feel like this was the plan all along. Even if it wasn't the best course of action, I just want to feel like they're on top of it.
Yeah, this to me is not a corner with a hamstring where right now he's probably got a 40%, but if things go well tomorrow, we'll up it to 45%, and if he comes out and has a good pregame workout, it'll get him over 50%, and we'll let him play in the game. That's not what this is. This, to me, he even said, by the way, I thought this was a little bit of a tell. And again, I'm seeing what I went in expecting to an extent.
Yep.
So I think everybody is going to look at this and see what they want. But I think that when he said Adam and Dan, meaning Peters and Quinn, and our crew will make the decision, to reference the general manager in that I thought was interesting. Now, maybe it's just because they haven't had a GM in a long time, so I'm not used to it. But I don't ever remember times when I was out at the park talking to players on a Friday about whether they're going to play or not where the general manager was mentioned. And they didn't have one. But like the non-football coaching staff decision makers, in other words. And I get it's a quarterback, face of the franchise, rookie who's just getting started, who's going to be the guy hopefully here for 10 or 12 years, so it's bigger than even what he or Dan Quinn want to do. I understand that. But I thought that was interesting, that if you're counseling, say, Peters, if you're bringing in the real grown-ups above even the coaching staff, that does tell me that there's more of a beyond-this-week element to this.
Yeah.
It was just Dan Quinn. Right. It's like, oh, it's just normal football. Can we use him this week or not? If we don't, do we have him next week? Whereas if you're bringing in the GM, it feels more like a bigger picture, you know, granular 10,000-foot view. And if that's how they're making the decision, it would actually lean and provide credence to he wouldn't play.
I buy that. And I hate that this is true, but you know, we live in the real world here. This is practical. With all due respect, whether Noah Igbinoghene plays this week is not as significant as if Jaden Daniels plays. Like,
why is Noah Igbinoghene catching shrapnel here?
He's not. I picked the name of a guy that's not going to be here.
Use Brandon Coleman, who didn't practice today with a concussion.
Brandon Coleman's significant too, but it's just it doesn't approach the level of the quarterback. I use this all the time, and I say it. And I think it irritates some people, but whatever. Everyone's key card's going to work in years if this works. If Jaden Daniels is as good as we think, and he's sustained and playing and continuing to thrive, and you got a chance every week, and your games are getting flexed, and everybody's buying the jersey, and everybody's winning if this is happening, regardless if you win or lose an individual week. So it tells you correctly that, yeah, it's not just the coach and his position coach going, hey, how are we for depth if – name the second right guard can go or not. It's not the same. It just isn't. So we don't have to pretend that it's the same. Let's not play that this is the same. Let's all acknowledge that this is far more important, and this thing working makes everybody look smart, right? Everyone's singing Adam Peters' praise, Dan Quinn and this whole staff, and we're not doing that if there's no Jaden Daniels for an extended period of time. So of course it should be an organizational decision. Doesn't mean that the owner comes down and overrules the coach, as we've seen before. Doesn't mean that anything gets dictated. It means let's have a thoughtful conversation about it and have a good plan.
Grant and Danny from Uptown Alley, where we are enjoying ourselves in Manassas today, live on 106.7. The Fan will be out here until 6:30. Let's let you hear what Dan Quinn had to say out in Ashburn. This was when he met with the media. I think somewhat strategically, right? They always work out on the field. They throw in front of everybody as a quarterback room. They did not do that today. They took that work into the bubble where only the staffers were allowed. That provided more mystery. And this isn't not just a Daniels point, but strategically, a lot of the time on Thursdays, Quinn doesn't actually speak. The coordinators do. And the coordinators speak before practice. So they have not had to update anything on Jaden Daniels since the beginning of the week, really, when Dan Quinn spoke, you know, before Wednesday's workout as it was. So either we had a couple days without having to talk about this. This was Dan Quinn on the status of Jaden Daniels as of Friday's workload.
Jaden was able to practice today. We followed the plan, really, that we set at the start of the week. And for you guys, think of like crawl, walk, run, like we do with a lot of guys, you know, on the return back from injury. So Wednesday, into that first piece Thursday on the walk piece to go, and then Friday to get the run. And we will assess how he responds to the work that we did, you know, over the next 48 hours. But we really pushed it today. And playing quarterback, the movements, the skills, and also specific to the game plan, you know, going through the whole thing, you know, all parts of the field. So we're really following that process, and we'll let our eyes, you know, decide how he responds over the next 48 hours. That'll guide us, and we'll make the best decision for him and for the team. And if he can't go, certainly we have all the confidence in Marcus. It was a good week, and we stayed true to the process for Jaden of what we were going to do from Wednesday to Thursday. And then we really wanted to push him today to see where he would be, and then let's see what the next, you know, how he responds to that kind of push to go. But it was a good day.
I think the big question here is, how much of Dan Quinn's pressers this week are you going to take at face value? Because if you just listen to what he says, I do think it seems more likely like Jaden Daniels plays. Remember, Monday he was the one that said, used the word hopeful. We're very hopeful he's going to play. We've got to be careful. He's doing well. And all the things he said. That feels to me like he said he practiced. Now, I'm waiting on the official practice and injury report here because I don't know. Did he practice in full? If he's listed as limited, that's very different than listed as a full practice participant.
Mm-hmm.
If he practiced in a limited capacity, well, he could have just gone out there and done some stretching and a couple things with the team. But there was an acknowledgement in that press conference that he did some things in team drills as well. And if he's doing that on Friday, then there's not really much of a reason why he wouldn't be able to play. So when I say I don't think he's going to play, I guess my reasoning is it's hard for me to get past the fact that if there's anything actually going on with his rib that led to him missing the time this week other than just extreme caution that they use with anybody else on Wednesday and Thursday and still play them on Sunday, I'm not pushing it. I think it would be silly to push it, and I just assume that they won't. But if he plays, it tells me that there was really very little concern all week long. That's where I'm at on it.
I think that's a smart way to look at it, man. I mean...
I don't want you to tell me if you think he's going to play. I want you to do that as soon as we come back. But I want your prediction. Because I'm going on the record and saying, I don't think he does. Even though what we saw publicly from Quinn and Daniels, by the way, would make you think that he's probably in. I'm still leaning toward out and assuming that they're playing a bit of games publicly to kind of keep everything a secret. But what do you guys think? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this next at 800-636-1067 for the first time today. 800-636-1067. Do you think Jaden Daniels plays Sunday against Chicago? We'll get Danny's prediction as well. Speaking of Danny, I might be about to drink you in beer form. Have you seen this?
I just saw it.
I just tweeted this out, or you can look at my Instagram at Grant H. Paulson.
That's my dumb face. There it is.
It's you and I in beer form via Guinness right on top of this beer right here.
Explain that. Go. Explain it.
We need Ryan to explain it all a little bit later.
How do you do that?
How does this work?
I've seen like a leaf and coffee before. I've never seen my stupid face on a Guinness.
Is it some type of stamp?
Yes.
Like they just put a stamp down on the beer?
There you go. What? You asking me like I did it? I have no idea.
That's an incredible
thing.
That
to me is the most, it's man on the moon.
Yeah.
Air conditioning, bread, that.
It's me and you.
Those are our greatest inventions.
Really incredible.
I mean, that's my face.
If
and
you
want
yours? To drink us, you got to come on out to Uptown Alley today where we're hanging out.
Drink our faces.
In Manassas. Grant and Danny with you. We're closing in on Sunday. Is Jaden Daniels going to play? That is the question on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the response to say that you're feeling good, you know, like that you're not in pain to do that. So it's like, how does your body respond from really getting pushed to go? And so I would say that's what we need to see. The testing is ongoing to get to that spot, but it was a good day.
That was Dan Quinn with reporters today in Ashburn. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan, live all over the DMV on 106.7. Of course, we are also available coast to coast on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us streaming on video on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. We are out and about today. The Friday Field Trip Series continues at Uptown Alley in Manassas. If you are in the area, stop on through. We're going to be here for four more hours until 6:30. There's a great bar and restaurant here. You can get food and drink and kick it with us. And first come, first serve opportunity as well to get your hands on some of our 106.7 The Fan merch store gear that we brought out for our listeners as well. So we're fired up to be here. The question at hand right now, Danny, is Jaden Daniels going to play on Sunday? We've been listening to the audio from Dan Quinn. I want to play Daniels' presser. I use air quotes on that. It was about 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Uh-huh.
A lot of short answers. I love Jaden Daniels. I thought he executed beautifully. Whatever the plan was, he was, you know, he's always likable and friendly and big smile, but it's also uncomfortable. Like, I can't give you information. I have to stand here and answer questions. I've got people directing me on what to say. I think, as is always the case, he was very eloquent and did a nice job, even as a man of a few words. But this was Jaden Daniels with reporters earlier today.
Feel good.
Do you expect to play Sunday?
Do I expect to play? I want to play, but not my decision.
What's the injury?
Something to my rib. It's kind of hard to explain, but something to that area right there. Like I said, I mean, I feel good. Been treatment, all that, trying to get back right and get myself a chance to go out there and be confident to play. And, you know, ultimately the trainers and Adam and DQ, they make the decision, let me play and stuff like that. You know, they feel confident too.
What do you need to see from yourself to feel comfortable going out there?
My thing is just, I mean, I got 48 hours to see how I feel, and we'll just go from there.
I imagine the pain was noticeable at the injury and maybe the day after. How has it progressed during the week?
Yeah, I mean, kind of with time and rest comes, you know, from Sunday to now, it feels better, but you know, I still got some time. Still got some marks that I need to hit to, you know, they feel comfortable putting me out there.
Like, how much of this is caution too, as you guys are assessing how you feel?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's football. At the end of the day, things happen. Sometimes you might have to fight through something. But if you could go, you could give it your all, and be smart about it. Obviously, they wouldn't put me in any position they wouldn't feel comfortable in. For my future, I don't want to put myself in that predicament either.
What's the hardest part to get used to for you with this? Like, what's the lingering issue, I guess? Is it pain? Is it more just comfort throwing?
I think it's a mixture of a lot of stuff. I can't really just pinpoint one thing, but, you know, it's kind of just keep being in the training room and trying to put myself in the position to go out there and play.
Last one.
How much do you look forward to this specific game? Obviously, you and Caleb as the first two picks.
I mean, I look forward to it. I mean, respect to Caleb and everybody, but I look forward to playing, trying to play every game. It's not who I'm playing against. Chicago is a good team, but, you know, I'm looking forward to go out there. And hopefully if I play, if I don't, it is what it is. We'll be moving forward, but I treat every game the same.
He is so nonchalant.
Yes.
That it's hard to look at him and say that guy's in pain. But it's very different standing there and talking to the media than going out and being tackled by NFL
versus
players.
Versus taking a Montez Sweat crunch.
But Danny Ruhle, prediction time, does he play on Sunday?
If you'd asked me 30 minutes ago, I'd have said something different. You asked me 10 minutes from now, I might say something different again. I can't explain why, but I feel like he's playing.
You think he will?
I feel like he is. And, again, there's this. None of this would hold up in a court of law. I can't defend my position terribly well. But it's just what it feels like to me. It feels
okay, then let me ask you this. Yeah. If he is playing, do you think that this is like less, I don't want to say legitimate, but less serious a rib injury than we all kind of thought all along? And they have just been overly cautious slash played it up a bit? Or do you think it was actually a legitimate injury that is lingering throughout the week and he's just trending in the right direction and it probably is more of a game time decision, but he will go?
It's the latter. Because I would say, like, between the two of us, I maybe felt like it was more significant than you did in real time, right? It just, I can't get that image of him wanting no part of anything.
Yeah, if you guys saw our text exchange during the game,
yeah.
Danny was like, oh, no, the season's over. And I was like, relax.
Yeah.
he's going to be okay.
I can't remember my exact turn of phrase. I think I said, cancel the rest of the games. Life has no meaning.
Yeah, something like that.
Let's all wait for the meteor and go to sleep and die.
By the way, they were moving up and down the field with Marcus Mariota.
And I didn't care.
Danny was like, I've never been in a worse mood watching a game. I was like, dude, they're about to hang 40 on Carolina. Nothing matters unless Jaden's fine.
Yeah, I was playing like Metallica. And nothing else matters. I get on repeat at home. I just love him so much. But it was a real injury. Like, again, you don't try to warm up and wince and are in too much pain that you have to go get x-rays because everything's fake. Like, to me, it was a real thing. I think he's trending in the right direction. I think he's recovering. And I think their plan is, their assessment is, if we take care of it, if we take care of X, Y, and Z, he's trending in such a nice direction, we'll be able to play him on Sunday without risk.
So for the record, I'm not saying it was a fake thing at all. He definitely got hurt. I mean, I watched him try to throw a pass and writhe in pain. Uh-huh. I watched him on the warm-up immediately slam his helmet down and, no, I'm not coming back in right now. What I'm saying is, after he went back to the locker room and got whatever treatment they gave him, and we can all guess as to what was pumped into him and how it worked and whatever, he looked like a different guy. He was on the sideline. Guys don't come back out onto the sideline that are in severe pain. He's waving his arms over his head, wanting more noise. He's clapping and putting up his hands for touchdown. Like, at that moment, I had a different vibe of, this is not long-term. Meanwhile, his mom has already sent a text saying he's fine, right? That tells you the x-rays were probably negative. So I'm just connecting those dots into his demeanor since. And so everyone is going, well, why then don't you think he's going to play? You're talking out of both sides of your mouth, and you're probably true, except that I just think they're going to be extremely cautious. They have three division games in their next four games. If he is not Jaden Daniels weeks 1-6, if there's any iota of difference at all, what he's feeling, how he's favoring things, how he throws the football, whatever, don't play him. You're 5-2. This is an important game in conference. The really important, vital games are New York, Philly, and Dallas. Three of your next four. Let's go to the phones. Do you guys think he's going to play is the question. Andre's in Alexandria on G&D. What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's up, man? I think, yes, he's going to play. Yes, he's going to play, and we're going to win. But I had a little nugget I wanted to give you off. Your boy didn't tell you already.
All right, he has not told us, so we're excited about your nugget.
Give me the nugget.
Okay. Who was that? I seen a big 320-pound man running down the field on a pick six, and I was told that was De'Ron Payne. So I didn't think a 320-pound man could move like that, but he was agile and coordinated running down the field. So I came up with Wim the Prairie Refrigerator, if you know who that is.
Yes, I do.
That's our short yardage fullback and our goal line fullback right there. We got a 320-pound fullback.
You appreciate the call.
Oh.
He is calling for De'Ron Payne in short yardage and goal line situations.
A little bit less of a nugget, more of an idea.
Yes.
So nugget to me means that I talked to a guy who talked to a guy who does tattoos and he knows that Jaden Daniels' rib is good. That's a nugget.
He got his car washed by a guy who lives next to Daniels, and Daniels told him, I'm going to play. This is all just a big fun.
Yeah, like
thing.
He saw Jaden Daniels doing wind sprints and like taking, non contact dummies or something.
A nugget is the guy that called into the Junkies a few years ago and told them that Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt his hip sliding down a slide.
Yes.
Or whatever that was. And then a few weeks later, he was out for the year because his hip got hurt. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I'm not connecting those dots. I'm just saying that's more of a nugget.
That's closer to nugget territory. But that's an idea.
It is funny to me.
I
always love when teams line up a big guy at fullback because the idea is he's strong.
It's very hardball-y.
He's athletic.
Yeah.
He's physical. Get around him. You don't want to take that on helmet to helmet. You don't want him to square you up, so you're trying to go around him. I've already won if that's the case.
It's very high school football, and I'm here for it, by the way. So I remember this. At St. Olmans, a guy named Pat Washington, who played in the NFL, ended up being a fullback in the NFL, but he wasn't a fullback in high school. Well, he was on certain plays, and nobody wanted to see that thundering bull come through the line of scrimmage and knock you into next week. But that was like a huge special thing. I'm all for it.
The takeaway for me on that Dante Fowler pick six was how athletic Fowler was. The play he made to get around Dalton, where he kind of hops up on a leg and at the same time jukes him Madden style, hitting the circle button or something. I thought that was pretty impressive. Let's go to Ray, who's out in Clinton, Maryland, on Grant and Danny. What's up, Ray? How are you?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're chilling.
Hey, look, this is me. I'm not a coach, but if it was me, I set him out because this is to me. this game don't mean nothing. You know, CBS want this game. They want it better than the owners. You know, they want the rating, you know, but I'm looking at the future. If it was me, I'd set him out. I mean, if he's willing to go, if the coaches think he's ready to go ahead on the plan. But I'm like this, man. Marcus Mariota is 2-0 against Chicago in his NFL career. He's not a slouch as far as being a quarterback. He is a veteran, you know, a Heisman Trophy winning veteran. You know, I mean, in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury, he can't fail. And then on top of that, Cliff Kingsbury was Caleb's quarterback coach, so he knows his deficiencies, and he can give our defensive coordinator the insight on how to rattle this guy. So everything is a plus on our side. You know,
thanks,
Chicago,
buddy.
To me, it's just just another conference game.
I appreciate
you.
Got
you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not going to say it's insignificant. Here's how I view football games in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing in your division, it's worth 3 points. If you're playing in your conference, it's worth 2. And if you're playing out of conference, it's worth 1. There is an added value with each rung you climb as it pertains to tie-breaking metrics, the standings, just the general import of the game. And you're looking at it through the lens, by the way, that they are all paramount. You only have 17. So every single one of them is significant. That's not to say if he's healthy, you don't play him. But let me ask you guys this, who are ravenous to see him and Caleb Williams take the field together for the amazing storyline of 1 versus 2. If they were playing Green Bay this weekend, or if they were playing Minnesota, two of the other good teams in the NFC North, would you feel the exact same urgency? Would you need him to play as much? I think a lot of the desperation, oh, he's got to play, we need to see it, is for a storyline that is fun for us. It's a donut. It's a sugar high. It's great. But it really doesn't matter that much. The rest of this season is in front of you right now. And, again, we're coming back from the premise that maybe he's not 110%, right? That maybe he's not the exact same guy. If he is, then no harm, no foul. There's nothing to see here. Play him. But I just think a lot of this is because it's the Bears game that it feels like such a bummer. It got flexed. Not because of Washington-Chicago, but because of Williams and Daniels.
That's the reason, right? That's the appeal. That's what everybody's looking for and looking towards. But we don't have to play ball with that. Like, Washington's under no obligation to appease CBS, and if it's a lesser game, sorry about it. But I actually happen to think he's going to play, so I think everyone gets what they want.
Grant and Danny on the fan is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels plays college, I think, at Kansas or something.
I bet he's pretty good.
There is a guy I watch every Saturday called Jaden Daniels. If he ends up on this team somehow, that would be very interesting. I would probably botch that from time to time.
Yeah, I'd mess that up.
Is Jaden Daniels going to play Sunday? That is where we are starting. Next on G&D here on The Fan, though, let's take a look at the rest of the games in the NFL. What are the top 5 matchups on Sunday, week 8 in the We are live at Uptown Alley in Manassas. Listeners making their way out to Uptown Alley in Manassas today. We're hanging with our Grant and Danny crew out here. 106.7 The Fan representing in Manassas. It is our Friday field trip series. This is stop number 2. We're very, very excited to be here today, enjoying what is already, I would say, the leader in the clubhouse moment, a beer with a picture of us.
Yep.
As the image on the foam right there at the top.
And I totally know how they can do that. I totally get it. I just don't really feel like explaining it, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's more of a Danny Explains It All segment.
Yeah, like I could do it, but I just choose not to. It's pretty easy if you know how to do it.
Friday means winning off the field 1 hour from now at 3:45. We're blitzing at 4. You know we're going to scout the opponent. I'll get the latest on the Bears coming up at the top of the hour. One of my buddies that covers the Bears in Chicago is going to swing through the show. Lot of ground to cover on this Football Friday ahead of Washington-Chicago, a chance to be 6-2 for the first time since 2008. Very, very different situation this year. That was year one of Jim Zorn with Jason Campbell at quarterback. And Campbell, if you remember, was famous not for being dynamic or prolific that year, but for not turning the ball over.
That was his whole shtick.
They were 6-2. I believe he had not thrown a pick yet. I have to look it up. I think he had 8 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns and no interceptions through 8 games. But I remember Ron Jaworski doing a segment about Jason Campbell as his MVP.
That's right.
After 8 games, and I was going, What life is this?
What world is this?
Washington 6-2. They've got an MVP candidate quarterback. And then you fast forward to 2024, and it's happening again. We are here. We are back, except it's the number 2 overall pick, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and life is good. This one feels a little more authentic.
This feels a little bit better than that. Because remember, that previous offseason, not to wax too poetic about it, but that was the, we don't have a head coach yet, but we have an OC. Just kidding, we do have a head coach. They got promoted from within the Jim Fossil before the blog world erupted, and then they decided not to hire him. Everything about that was just such a hot, buttered mess. And then they get off to this rip-roaring start when old Flat Top Zorn is, like, throwing medicine balls at quarterbacks. We're like, maybe he's quirky enough that this works. Maybe this is for real. And then it all came crashing down.
All right, let's take a look at some of the other intriguing matchups of Week 8 around the NFL. This is a nice slate. I would say there's intrigue. There are some curious games. There's things that you're going to want to tune in for more than there are, like, great matchups, let's say. Mm-hmm. But one really entertaining duo of teams playing is the Eagles and the Bengals. 1 o'clock kick. This is on Sunday on Fox in Cincinnati. Eagles are 4-2. Bengals are 3-4. Philly survived Cleveland to get a game over 500 2 weeks ago. Then they blew out the Giants. Meanwhile, the Bengals have been digging out of a hole for the last 3 weeks now, and they are back to within a game of 500. If they can get a home win over Philly, they'd be 4-4, and they'd have their season back on track. They would have a chance at the playoffs.
Favorite in the game, by the way, Cincinnati is. It would be a real shame if Cincinnati got their act together and beat Philadelphia at home. I would be so upset. I wouldn't be. I'd be thrilled.
Cardinals-Dolphins has my attention. Tua is coming back.
Yes, he is.
Tua Tagovailoa saying this week, I'm going to play. I love this game. The quote was, I love this game to the death of me. He said that when asked, what about the fans who are uncomfortable, worried that you're going to get another concussion? He also said he won't be wearing a Guardian cap. They asked why. He said personal choice. I'm kind of at the point where everyone needs to leave Tua alone. Like, he is an adult. This is a job he is opting into. If you're uncomfortable, I don't know what to tell you. Don't watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his deal, man. Like, he doesn't have to retire to make you feel better. Now, I'm not sitting here saying I wouldn't do something different because I have young kids and I probably would. But that's really easy for me to say. He has loved football since he was 4 years old. But just watching that press conference, it was almost like he's explaining himself away. He's apologizing for playing. It's uncomfortable for me. Like, if he wants to play, leave him alone.
It is uncomfortable for me. But on both ends, like, the same way I felt about Alex Smith, right? Like, Alex Smith should do what he wants. Good for Alex Smith, bad for Alex Smith, I don't care. Watching him play football was not fun for me. Like, my stomach turned, I felt high anxiety. That's how I'm going to feel when I'm on red zone and I'm watching Tua drop back to pass or move around in the pocket or anything. It's going to be an uncomfortable watch. I'm going to watch it because it's part of the gig. But if I could turn away from it, I probably would. But at the same time, you're right. Grown man making decisions. Sorry.
Falcons-Bucks in Tampa. This game has really changed over the last calendar week.
Yeah.
First place game, 2-4-3 teams in the NFC South at Raymond James Stadium. The Bucs are without Chris Godwin for the rest of the year, Mike Evans for about a month and a half. Golden opportunity for Atlanta, led by old friend Kirko Cousins, to go out and take control of this division and get to 5-3. But if Tampa Bay can somehow find a way defensively, have a strong game, turn Atlanta over, maybe we'd be singing a different tune about their chances moving forward.
I don't know what Atlanta team's going to show up here. I just don't. I don't trust them to be good or bad. I have no clue at this stage.
Two other games real quick. Bills-Seahawks in
Seattle. Two first-place teams.
Seahawks are first in the West, to your point, and the Bills, 5-2, lead the East. They're a Super Bowl contender. That's probably the best matchup in terms of quality of game and the quality of two teams. We don't have many first-place teams playing head-to-head.
No, and that's a big one for Seattle because they got right last week. They dropped three in a row, played probably their best game of the season to get to 4-3. Buffalo, you know, is alone in first place in the division we thought would be pretty good. So they could have probably maybe afford to drop one, but they're 5-2. Next closest team is Miami at 2-4. But a big one here for Seattle, I think.
I was just mentioning Jason Campbell hadn't thrown a pick back in 2008. Josh Allen threw 7 games, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions.
MVP candidate.
As the Bills are 5-2. He's protecting the football more than he has in years past. Finally, Cowboys 49ers. I'm fascinated by this game. I don't think Dallas is very good. They're 3-3. But I do think they're catching San Francisco 3-4 at a perfect time.
If there is a good time, yeah.
Deebo Samuel's back in the building, apparently doing well. He had pneumonia. He was in the hospital at one point this week. But they have had injuries too. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey has been out all year. Now Brandon Ayuk was out for the remainder of the season, it looks like. You go across the board with all their best players, they're dropping like flies, and Brock Purdy hasn't necessarily elevated his game. He threw 3 picks last week in a bad loss.
This is one of those. San Francisco has one of these every 3 or 4 seasons or so where nothing goes right, and they end up way under 500. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it's got the makings of it, doesn't it? Usually when they're healthy and good, they win 12, 13 games, go to the conference title game. This feels like that weird 6-10, 6-11 type season where everybody's hurt all the time and they just can't get right. That's what it feels like.
Some of the best games of Week 8 around the NFL outside of Washington and Chicago. Much anticipated, so much so that it was flexed into the 4 o'clock window by CBS. Boom. More on whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to play as we get news trickling out throughout the day. Next, let's check in on the Bears and Scout Chicago. We'll learn about the team that is standing between Washington and its best start in 16 years. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.